Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Vast Resource shareholder call. My name is Emily, and I'll be your coordinator for today's conference. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, you can ask questions directly to the host via the Q&A function on the Webex. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad and you'll be connected to an operator. I'm now handing over to your host, Andrew Prelliar, to begin today's conference. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Q1 quarterly production report for 2018. Hopefully you've all had a chance to read the RNS and scroll through the presentation. I won't be reading through the presentation on a line-by-line basis. However, I do already have a list of 11 questions and a 12th one popped up, and I will refer to the pages on the quarterly production presentation that's up on your screen to try and cross over between the questions and the answers that are on the presentation. I will, however, say that we have been happy to report that the production of Pixton Peerless has increased in Q1. It's our record for gold production. You could see that the benefits of stockpiling in Pixton were apparent due to the fact that we milled more than we mined. That was a result of the heavy rainfall in Q1, but we made up for it for having a stockpile, and that's been one of the deficiencies that we've had at Manayila for a long time, is that we haven't had the ability to mine due to the access to the high-grade ore. But as you can see, the pre-stripping has definitely helped us. We reached a stripping ratio of about 19 earlier this year. It's now coming back down, and you can see that through the March and April figures on slide. One second. Slow to change, so my apologies. Oh, I've gone past it, excuse me. As you can see, sorry, on slide 12 up on your screen, you can see that the stripping ratio did, in fact, go down a little bit, and because at one stage it was the average of 19, and it's now back to 12.8, which is our target stripping ratio moving forward as we get into the high-grade ore. So as a result of the pre-strip, we can see in the last two weeks of March and the first 2 weeks of April, we've basically, if you would multiply that by six to get a full quarter, that would have been our second best quarter ever. And you can also see that the average grade has gone up from a historical 0.5.6 to a 0.8.85, which is our target, is actually anything over 0.7. And for that, we're now getting a higher concentrate rate. We saw 19.4 in April. So all of the hard work that's been done over the winter period, which would have been a shutdown anyway, has now paid off, and we're expecting to continue on this path moving forward in Manayila. And I will now talk to some of the questions that have come through earlier. The first question was, can I confirm that the first shipment has been made to Mercuria? And in that case, can you elaborate on the size of the shipment? The first delivery of Mercuria has left. It was the production for the end of March and April. It's our largest sale in terms of dollar-wise per ton, and also the largest single invoice that's been raised to date. So it was approximately 600 tonnes of copper concentrate and just under 200 tonnes of zinc concentrate. The next question was, does Vast have a build plan and construction timeline for Kalibaba processing? As I've indicated, we are waiting for the permits and approval. The longest waiting time is 120 days for the environmental permit. We, as mentioned, into today's RNS, we've done quite a lot of work. We've done all the topo survey. We've started to already amalgamate some of the land, acquire what we needed to, and put concession down on the rest of the mining area. We've already started all the design work, which is well underway, and we expect by mid-July to end July to have all of the drawings and documentation ready and to be in a position to get the environmental permit. Unfortunately, it's in the hands of the authorities, but being a regional area, it's generally a lot easier, and we've also got the support of the local council. So we're anticipating that we will be approved for construction in the last quarter of this year and commence construction. The The most difficult thing is actually the approvals process. Once we get through that, which is, as I said, in global terms, relatively easy, we believe between a 9 and 12 month construction time at most, including the winter months. There was another question: with a significant ore grade increase in April, would this be expected to continue? And will this be pulled back just above zero penalties and ore grades? The benchmark of the pre-strip was to get to an average 0.7 head grade to the plant. We've achieved that. We're continuing to achieve that. We are now milling at capacity, working with one mill to keep costs down. We're now looking at some other alternatives to increase production out of the pit, because now that the production facility is working at peak performance, we believe we can increase production as long as we can get the ore out of the ground. And with the continued blasting, we're expecting to increase production in the next quarter and then continue it going forward up until the time we get to the Kalibaba. But unfortunately, we can't reach optimum until we actually build that new plant up near the Kalibaba area. However, we can push as hard as we possibly can to increase profitability at Manila until then. There's another question here about the timescales and milestones for Zagra. Zagra, as I said, until we raise separate money through a separate SPV, we don't want to be going to shareholders to dilute for new projects. We are talking to several entities that may be interested in partnering up with us in the future on Zagra. We are doing what is considered to be the minimum for compliance sake. We've done our soil sampling. We will start a drilling program once we get funding for that particular project separately. So we don't expect to have any drill results to that till later on this year. There was another question regarding BP license. What's the plan to production and the timescales and costs associated? We've explained that the start-up to production for Baeza would be around approximately $1.5 million once we get the association on the license, and we don't believe that this will take longer than 6 months once the association is completely signed off and approved. We do plan on being in production as soon as possible. Somebody also asked, we have great resources and an exciting future. How can we have an attractive institutional investors? And are there any plans? Yes, there are definitely plans. Institutions generally come in at the ground floor at an IPO when they take a cornerstone investment. Unfortunately, in our case, over time, we didn't actually have any institutional investors. However, we are in the process of trying to attract them. Generally, you need a market cap of approximately $100 million to get that sort of institution on board, but it does not mean that it's out of our thoughts, and it is definitely something we are targeting this year. There was another question regarding consolidation. A penny share has a certain stigma attached to it. Well, this is also very true. The problem with consolidation when a company is not particularly stable, although we are heading towards stability now, is that you may consolidate your stock and then find that you get pushed down back to a penny stock. So once we have the confidence, once we have the Baeza license in place, once we're in production and profitable, we will be considering a consolidation. But until then, I don't think it's wise for the shareholders for us to consolidate this time. However, it's something that we will consider in the future. And then there's another question here. What are the short and medium-term goals to generate profit? We'll continue production on the path we are on now. Pixton is generating profit for the company. As you know, we've just acquired Eureka with our joint venture partners. We've also got the Giant Mine to come on board. But Pixton is profitable. Manaila as well, if we continue on the path that we've done the last 2 weeks of March and April and now at the beginning of May, we will also be seeing a profit centre coming out of Manila. Not great, as our transportation costs are between 25 and 35% of production, but it will be a profit centre in itself. The question is, do we continue on an expansion plan? Do we use cash flow? Do we do individual raisings for SPVs, or how do we finance this expansion? But as far as the business is concerned, the two operating mines at the moment are looking very positive, and hopefully that will be reflected in the Q2 production report. There's another question here on screen. I've gone through the list of questions bar one, which I'll come to last, that I already had sent to me prior to the meeting. So I'll start with Q&A on the screen. What is happening to other projects in Romania? Other projects in Romania, we've been looking at other projects in Romania, as we have done so in Zimbabwe. The first of that you've seen is Eureka. And we will report on those as they arise and as there's more certainty, but we are definitely pursuing new opportunities in both jurisdictions. Can you clarify the recent link-up to the diamond exploration in Zimbabwe? Well, Botswana, as we said in the RNS recently, has a very strong history in diamond background in Zimbabwe and South Africa and DRC. They've got very, very competent people on their board and in their management. And we have a lot of diamond IP that historically we explored back in the late 2000s. So we now believe with the government open for business, as I've quoted, it's now the time to continue our exploration in Zimbabwe and revisit old claims. That's all I can speak to at this stage, but as more information comes at hand, I'll be happy to announce it via RNS. There's another question here. If VAS gets the BP licence, will this add to profits during the next 12 months? Yes, most definitely. The project of Baita, after post commissioning, is a very high grade and a very good quality ore, and a reasonable cost of production. We do believe it will be profitable after the first, let's say, 3 to 6 months of production. So within the first 12 months, if everything goes to budget and to plan, most definitely it'll be in the profit centre. But it is mining, so they'll have to put caveats on that. And is BP required for tranche two of funding? Technically, no. As reported in the RNS on the closing, we've actually signed and sealed the documents for the $9.5 million in completion, of which $4.5 million was already drawn, $4 million was already drawn down. There's another $5.5 million to be drawn out in July. The reality of the situation is that most of that money is to be applied to the Carly Barber extension. So it is more to do with the pending, with the status of the acquisition of land and the construction approvals and the stage that and the stage we're at that time in July. BP is not per se a CP for the drawdown of the $5.5 million. However, we believe it is imperative that we have BP in pipeline and working by the time we have to start the repayment schedules 12 months from the time the drawdown takes place. There's another question here. Have we changed the way we report strip ratios? It's now on a ton-for-ton basis. Yeah, historically we did it on a BCM to ton, but it is but some reports are coming through as BCM, others were coming through as ton-for-ton. But I do believe we had historically both of the stripping ratios reported. But if you look on the history that you see in the RNS, they were on a ton-per-ton basis. So you can see that from Q1 last year to Q1 this year, it's not just it's more like a 300 or 400 or 500% increase in stripping. And that was the problem that we had in Manaila. We historically had mined ourselves in the corner due to lack of capital and vision on the Manaila mine itself, which is why in December we decided to close it and strip it and prepare it properly. Because historically, from its previous owners, it was not stripped properly. When we took it over, we started a stripping program. In the beginning, we started to get the results. Then, due to the lack of capital and management decision at the time, it was we kept the cost to a minimum. And then now we realise that we must strip and we must have overstripped, which is what we've done in the first quarter, in the last first quarter of this year, and the last quarter of last year. And now we're back to what we call the long-term stripping ratio of around 12 to 12.8. We'll maintain that now to enable us to continue on the getting the results that we're achieving to date. The next couple, can we expect a return to 40,000 tonnes per quarter on Manaila? Yes, we should. We're targeting that now. It should be actually a little bit greater. We're hoping to achieve... I've mentioned this before. It's not a matter of 40,000 tonnes per quarter. It's how many tonnes of concentrate we produce. That is what determines the bottom line to the company. If we can make more money out of doing 12,000 tonnes a month or 36,000 tonnes per quarter rather than 45,000 tonnes per quarter, then we'll do the 36,000 tonnes. But as it stands, we are now targeting around 45,000 tonnes per quarter and increasing the amount of concentrate being produced. So instead of doing 15,000 tonnes and producing 450 tonnes, We now have a target that if we do produce 45,000 tonnes, we want at least a 15 to 20% increase in concentrate produced. If we can't achieve that, then it's more economically viable to stay at around the 36,000 tonnes a month. But we will report to that as and when we get the performance out of the pit as a result of the stripping and the new high grades coming to the plant. Pixton, what is the timing to have ultra-fine grind commissioned? Well, the ultra-fine grind is actually being installed at the moment. It was just a matter of, it was on site, so everything was paid for, the equipment. It was just a matter of not having steel available in Zimbabwe. The steel is now delivered. They're now installing the ultra-fine grind. It's a necessity for the sulfides, not necessarily for the oxides. However, we will be testing using the ultra-fine grind to try and get a higher rate of recovery out of the oxides. And we'll keep you posted once that's fully installed, but it's not far off. Question, how far through the process to obtaining the accession on the BP licence? Well, we're at the home stretch. I can't really talk due to confidentiality. I've mentioned that in a previous podcast. All I can say is we're extremely confident that we will be obtaining the BP association. I don't want to give a timeline because if I give a timeline, people want me to stick to it. Unfortunately, it's not in our control. But I can say that every single day we are in daily discussions with the state company, Baitsi that has the license, and we're in daily discussion with the ministry. It is now a matter of fine points, and as soon as I can, I will announce to the market by RNS when the association is signed or any progress that I am permitted to announce. But it is extremely positive, and we're extremely confident. And unfortunately, that's the most I can say at this point in time. Pixton, tonnes milled exceeded tonnes mined. I think that's the overall grade was good. Yes, that's right. We used the stockpile because of the weather, but we're now catching up. We're now milling what we're mining, and we will continue to perform on an increased trajectory of milling as we now have those new mills installed. We'll continue on the growth path of Pixton to achieving our long-term targets with or without the sulfides. Once the sulfides kick in, the mining capacity will stay the same and the milling capacity will stay the same. However, the recoveries will be higher and the grade will increase in sulfides. Any comments and updates on Marengo? Not at this point in time. Pixton, now that the pre-strip is done, what does the normalised strip ratio look like going forward? Well, Pixton, I think in the budget, is around a stripping ratio of 10 to 12 as well. And that's now normalised and continuing. Vast enterprise value is 1.28p, including Eureka without BP's licence. As such, Vast is undervalued. What plans does the company have to address the issue? I think everyone's forgetting that this time last year we were sitting at about 0.2, 0.25. We gradually increased the share price to around 0.4, 0.5 towards the end of last year. We've been holding steady between 0.59 and 0.62 the last couple of months. So we've actually seen almost a 200% increase in the share price, 20% since the beginning of the year. Unfortunately, I think the market is focused wholly on BP, although it is only a small part of our portfolio. The PR and marketing, we're working on a PR and marketing plan to try and interest new retail investors and institutional investors. I think that is the only way we'll see the share price increasing in the short term. Without BP, I think with BP, we will reach a certain plateau as well. And it is, unfortunately, my job as CEO and our team, the management team as a collective, to start promoting the share a lot better, and we plan on doing so. We're working very closely with Mr. Price to enable us to take us to a much broader audience of investors and retail investors and institutional investors. So you'll be seeing a lot more work on the lifting the share price through promotion of the company in the coming months. Eureka, has a work plan been up together yet? Well, I think I mentioned it in the podcast last week, and we also mentioned it in the RNS. There are several schools of thought. Historically, they mined with a heap leach, and they were getting fairly decent recoveries, about 65%. It's a very low-cost way of starting up the mine. We also have to address what is optimal for the mine itself. That means it's a very hard granite. That means the crushing circuit that's installed, that over $30, $40 million was invested back in 2002, 2003, that's still intact. We're going through and checking and verifying all of the equipment on site. Our COO and Chief Geologist, Craig Harvey, is on site right now working together with the Sub-Sahara team and the managers on site, trying to come up with an optimised plan for restarting the project. We will report as soon as we've made a decision. But as I said, there are two schools of thought: going and doing a very similar setup to what we have on a larger scale at Pixton, or commencing with the heap leach. They both have their merits and they both have their disadvantages, and we just need to model them out and see which is the best solution for the company. But we should know that in the coming weeks. Will VAST start mining other material in Zimbabwe, such as lithium? I think that VAST has now built up an extremely valuable executive team focused on gold and polymetallics. I think that moving out of this space and into lithium is something that, A, is a very select market with a very select buyer base that would require a completely different skill set, and that would mean employment and fundraising. At this point, I don't think we'll be looking. I'll never say no, but at this point in time, we are focused on polymetallics and gold projects, and we will be looking at both those portfolios in both jurisdictions in the coming months. The additional gold mine was a great addition and zero dilution for shareholders. What else is coming? Well, it's not R&S, so I can't tell you, but I can say we are definitely looking, and we're looking always at expanding our portfolio and looking at the least impact financially on our shareholders. And trying to add as much value to the company as possible, and we do plan to continue on this path of acquisition moving forward. And we're very excited about the future of VAST in many respects. There's a lot of opportunity for this company. We're very uniquely positioned in both jurisdictions. We do want to leverage off this as fast as possible and as much as possible. And we hope our shareholders are happy with the path we're taking. And we're always happy to discuss and listen to the opinions of our shareholders, and we take into consideration everything that's asked of us. And we hope that we continue the performance that we've seen in this first quarter moving forward, and increasing profitability and increasing the portfolio over the coming months, weeks and years. So if there are any more questions, please feel free to add them. I think I've answered virtually everything other than a question related to Baeza that is unfortunately impossible to answer. The only thing, as I said, can add to that, because I know that that is everybody's question, is that I would like to reiterate the fact that we are extremely positive on the completion of the association of the license of Baeza, and we will report it as soon as physically possible. If there are any more questions, please feel free to add. If there are any questions regarding the quarterly production, please feel free to put them on the Q&A right now. Otherwise, that's it for this quarter's production report update. That's it? Yep, hang on. What is the update for Pechora, Zimbo and Magura Negra? I answered that in the beginning on Zagra. The drilling program is an extremely intense and expensive drilling program. Will require up to $2 million. And as we do not want to dilute shareholders for new projects, we are in discussions with third party financial providers to work out an investment program for the Zagra perimeters. And we'll update the market as soon as we have a more concrete investment program. Anything else? Roy, I have Mr. Tucker on the line. Oh, sorry, I've got one more question. Send the password so I won't put cash. We don't put out cash flows. We do, by the way, somebody's asked if we don't put out cash flows on the quarterlies. The problem is that we do need to run them past the auditors and get them approved on the production, on the quarterly productions, but we do put out our financials at the interims and at the end of year financials. So they are done half yearly. So it's not a matter of we don't want to do it. It's just extremely difficult to do to enable us to give investors quarterly production updates in real time. If there are no more questions, I think that brings us to the close of the production, quarterly production report. Does anybody have any questions for our financial director, Mr. Tucker, who's online as well? Roy, do you have anything to add?
No, I think you've summarized it very well, Andrew. I'm agreeing with all the things you said.
All right. Thank you all very much for dialing in. I believe there's quite a number of you today, and we look forward to putting out more news to the market as soon as possible. As somebody asked how much of the first tranche has been spent. Considerable amount, and I'll answer that. No, most of the first tranche has already been spent exactly where it was told it was going to be spent. Luckily, we are a revenue producing company, and we have cash flow that will continue on the path of growing the business. So, as I said, the last delivery to Mercuria has been our largest financial earner for Manaila in its history, and we expect to be doing similar numbers in the May delivery as well. So we've put the money exactly where we said we're going to spend the money. Any more questions before we sign off? Thank you very much, sir, who just posted the last question. Greatly appreciated. The team is working very hard, and without them, we could not achieve what we've achieved. We're actually the very hard-working and dedicated team, and everything and all the results of the company I lay purely on the shoulders of the dedicated teams in Romania and Zimbabwe and the leadership behind it. So thank you to all of our staff and management for assisting us in our path and our quest. I think that's it for today. Again, thank you very much, everybody, for your support, and we look forward to updating you further in the near future.
Thank you for joining today's conference. You may now disconnect your handsets.